You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Once again, hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, April 22nd, 2024. This is Grandpa Dan streaming, RadioAlbion.com, starting another week off. I hope you enjoyed your weekend. I hope you had some time off. Regardless, I'm glad you're kicking off this work week with us here at Radio Albion. As always, I remind you, we have our Sven Longshank support links here on the Daily Nationalist page. We'll continue to put those up, and I'll continue to encourage you to drop him an email or a postcard or some manner of support until the day we get to see him released. So we're going to keep on doing that. We're going to keep remembering Sven as we go about our business. As you know, we're continually, of course, we're continually lied to by the media, government. And remembering those lies, you know, it is so important for combating the latest narratives. And it may seem like, well, what difference does it make? But it does make a difference, because by looking at these things and speaking about these things, you make sure that you're not internalizing them, you're not falling for them, they're not being successful in getting in, weeding their way in to your subconscious. Because they lie, they're always going to run into these contradictions. And people will mistakenly point and say, see, they're hypocrites. But they're not hypocrites because they never believed any of this to begin with. It's all about exercising power. But what you want to do, what we want to do is point these things out, observe them. And it's not about saying hypocrisy. It is pointing out that they're lying. Again, liars will always run into contradictions because they lie about everything. They're just naturally going to run into forgetting about the lies they told earlier. Now, they want you to forget. And this whole media apparatus, the whole culture is set up around to where you don't remember what was said yesterday. Everything is about chasing the latest thing, the latest fad, the latest craze, you know, the latest narrative. We laugh about how people so easily shifted from the coronavirus and you got to wear the mask virtue signal to the Ukraine and you got to stand with Ukraine and put the little flag in your bio. All of these things require that you don't remember what they said before. I'm going to use a story today. This is from a couple of days ago. It's dated April 20th. It comes from RT. The headline says, NATO member accuses Russia of exploiting migration. Finland's prime minister claims that Moscow has used asylum seekers from the Middle East against the EU. Now, I have to stop there. Have these same people not told us for years now that this is our greatest strength? There was a story similar to this several years back. I remember, and I believe it was Lukashenko up there in Belarus, was letting some of these people cross the border into Poland, and Poland had a typical Polish meltdown over it. And it was like, I don't know, 1,200 people or something. It was like a drop in the bucket after considering how many millions and millions have been shipped in. And you actually had people on the internet saying, see, this just shows how awful. See, Lukashenko, he's a bad guy. I remember reading and hearing a supposed right-winger, supposed nationalist, and they were like, Lukashenko, see, he's part of the problem. He's part of the program. He's flooding Europe with migrants because, like, 1,200 guys. You know, it's not even a drop in the bucket. These same people lectured us for years. You always want to remember their lies. Remember when Merkel and company told us that these people were going to pay the pensions. You're going to bring these people in. You see, we have to. We have this aging population, and we have all these pension obligations. We've got to bring these people in order to pay the pensions. You see, they're going to come in. They're just going to just pick up where the Germans left off, and they're going to pay the pensions. How soon we forget. Let's continue with our story. Russia has engineered the influx of migrants from third countries in order to undermine the EU. Finnish Prime Minister Petteri Orpo said on Friday he stressed the need to strengthen the two countries' borders, which has been closed for several months. Well, who is engineering this isn't a mystery at all. These NGOs are working quite out in the open. You would think if they're suddenly concerned about migration, about this immigration, that they might would want to investigate where the funding for these NGOs is coming from. Who's funding these NGOs? Where's the money coming from? But there's, once again, there's no curiosity. You see, it's only a problem when they can point at Russia. This reminds me of a story I read last week as well, where, you know, the German economy, of course, is in the toilet. And Scholz come out and said, well, it's Russia's. Yes, we're being deindustrialized, but it's Russia's fault because, as he put it, they shut off the gas. You see, it's not our fault. There's nothing we can do. Russia shut off the gas. This just happened out of the blue. Nobody could have predicted that this could happen. Maybe Russia blew up their own pipelines. Well, who knows? Petteri made the comments during a visit to the frontier in Imatra, along with European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. We have to find common solutions to stop this phenomenon when Russia has used illegal immigrants against us. We're preparing our own legislation, but we also need EU-level measures, Orpo told reporters. He previously said that the threat from the situation at the border was evident and announced that the government was working on a deportation law. See, suddenly immigration is a problem. The same people who have spent years telling us that all of these people are interchangeable, it doesn't matter. You could take the German people, the Finnish people, and you can just swap them out with people from the Middle East, from Africa, and it won't make any difference. They're just completely interchangeable. It doesn't matter. We just have to keep these population numbers up. We laugh at these things because they're so evidently stupid and false. And yet people, there's a certain segment of people that actually believe that peoples are just interchangeable. I was seeing some comments posted on the internet the other day in normie spheres. And somebody was talking about, you know, Japan's population decline. And somebody popped up and said, yeah, and part of the problem is they're very xenophobic. They can't even solve their population decline with immigration because they're so set against immigration. As if you just bring more bodies in, then the problem is solved. This is very reflective of a submissive mind, a mind that is completely submitted to the idea that the nation is the government. It doesn't matter who the people are. The people are just there to serve the process. This is how you know people have truly adopted a slave-type mentality, a submissive-type mentality. They have, whether they realize it or not, they have embraced their role as just cogs in the machine, as cattle, as livestock, as just part of the mechanization to build the wealth of other people, to build the power of other people. It does the people, the nation isn't the people at all. The people are irrelevant in these people's minds. The people are irrelevant. What matters is that the government keeps functioning and, quote unquote, the economy keeps working. It doesn't matter what type of people are there. You just have to have numbers on a piece of paper, on a computer screen, on a statistic to give. You just have to have bodies in place, and it doesn't matter where those bodies come from. And of course, if you point out that if you replaced the population of Japan with a population from, say, Africa, Japan will simply become Africa. Nations are what they are, as we know, because of the people that are there. This is very simple. You know these liars lie because they continually speak out of both sides of their mouth, don't they? They will tell us and proudly proclaim from the rooftops that diversity is our strength. That's one of their favorite marketing slogans. And never forget, this is all any of this is. All of this, everything in our world around us, these media and government narratives, they're nothing more than marketing. They're no different than the latest slogan from McDonald's or Burger King. It's marketing. Diversity is our strength. They repeat this. They regurgitate it. Diversity is our strength. And then they turn around, however, and they'll say race doesn't exist and there's no difference between any peoples. And you can just simply remove the Japanese people and replace them with people from sub-Saharan Africa and nothing will change. You see, it's the same. They're all interchangeable, but both cannot be true at the same time. Diversity cannot exist if peoples are completely the same and can be interchanged with one another. Does that make sense? How are you going to have diversity if people are so same, so much the same, that replacing the Japanese, I'm just staying with this example, replacing the Japanese with sub-Saharan Africans won't change anything because they're all exactly the same. All you need are bodies there to somehow keep the machine rolling, the cogs in the machine moving, the economy rolling. They just need numbers on a paper. Look, the number on our piece of paper, it went up on our statistics. The number went up instead of going down. We're winning. Nothing's going to change. It can't be both. Diversity implies that peoples are different. That's what makes them diverse. If you go to experience, I will say Pakistan, and then you go to experience India, and then you go to experience Indonesia, you're going to get a different experience in all three of those places. And it that would not be possible if everybody is simply the same and they're just cogs that can be switched out. It doesn't matter. Like batteries, you just plug in a different battery. You're good to go. Can't be, both cannot be true. Either people are, you either have diversity or people are all the same. Well, obviously, people are different. Different races of people have a different way of living, a different way of thinking, and these things are reflected in the societies they build around them. They're just different. Different peoples are going to build a different society. You know, an Indian is going to build a different society, a different what you see. They're going to build a different society than someone from, say, sub-Saharan Africa or someone from South America because they're different people. Let's get back to our story. At a joint press conference, von der Leyen claimed that Russian President Putin, quote, has set his sights on Finland because of the country's support for Ukraine and its recent accession to NATO. Russia's hybrid attacks are not just about Finland's security. It's about the security of the entire EU, she wrote on Twitter. I refuse to do this whole thing that RT does, talking about X, quote, in parentheses, formerly known as Twitter. I just call it Twitter. I'm just either going to call it Twitter or I'm going to call it X. But I'm not going to do this whole X, formerly known as Twitter. It's kind of like back when Prince, years ago, y'all may not be old enough, Prince changed his name to a symbol. Only how the hell do you pronounce this weird symbol? Nobody knew how to pronounce it. So everybody just called him the artist, formerly known as Prince. And I think eventually it got shortened to just the artist. The artist formerly known as Prince because he changed it to this weird symbol. My name is now this. And it's like, well, how do you say that? We're not going to tell you. If these people were not liars, then what she's essentially saying is Russia has targeted Finland for some more strength. Again, we got told for years and years that this immigration was going to make us stronger. Man, the economy was going to just take off roaring. You're going to get all these people in here, and man, they're just going to set this economy on. They're just going to set the economy on fire. In fact, man, these countries, the more immigrants you take in, the more powerful your economy is going to be. You don't have to be an expert to know that was false and stupid, but yet this is what they told us. And yet now, you see, we're flipping the script. Now it's bad. Now it's Russia's fault. It's not Merkel. It's not von der Leyen. It's not any of these other people who have spent years now. You're supposed to just forget. They've spent years bringing all these people in. You're supposed to forget that now. You see, now it's all about Russia. Finland shut down the border with Russia in December and has since extended the closure indefinitely. Well, what do you know? A border closure. I didn't think this was even possible. You can actually do that. Of course, these people are coming from, as they're saying in the article, they're saying in the Middle East. They're getting into Europe somehow. No. Maybe, just maybe, they might be curious about that because we all know. But no, see, it's all about Russia. The Finnish authorities cited a spike in illegal crossings as more than a whopping, get this, a whopping 1,200 migrants from 29 different countries have applied for asylum since August, according to official statistics. Most of them came from Syria, Somalia, the Middle East, and African states. In other words, it's the same demographic that has been flooding into Europe for years and years. Millions and millions. Millions of these people have been coming in for years. We've seen the statistics. And now it's a problem because they're saying 1,200 people. 1,200 people have come in and applied for asylum. 1,200 people. This is not even, this doesn't even count as a drop in the bucket. This is like kvetching over a couple of grains of sand on a beach. And now all of a sudden it's, oh my gosh, we got 1,200. 1,200 people. How did they get here? You know, it's like we got this whole thing. And with these people coming across the border in the U.S. And as usual, conservatives always miss the point. You know, they sit here and they act like these people just showed up. I bet if you went and asked the average conservative, where do you think these people come from? And they'd probably all say, well, but they're from Mexico, but they're not. You've got Haitians. You've got sub-Saharan Africans. Just as this case here, they got 29 different countries, people from 29 different countries. You have all these people coming from Africa, and nobody is ever curious how the hell did they get to the Mexican border to come across. You ain't going to swim from Africa to Mexico. It's not going to happen. Somebody brought them here because they didn't have no money. It isn't like, oh, they bought a plane ticket and flew to Mexico and got off to walk down there to the border. That's not realistic. These people are poor. They have nothing. They haven't got a pot to piss in, as they say. And somehow they wind up. And even conservatives who will sit here and whine nonstop about immigration into the U.S. and these people, quote unquote, flooding across the border. Even they are not curious as to how does an African get from Africa to the Mexican border. Somebody brought them there. This is the answer. Somebody brought them there. How are all these millions of people coming into Europe? We know the NGOs are bringing them. Who's funding them? Where's that? Why are these governments not concerned? Instead, no, we're supposed to lose our minds because Ursula says, my gosh, 1,200 people came across the Finnish border. 1,200 people. I just paused and did a quick Wikipedia, which isn't exactly reliable. And just throw in some context here. In mid-October of 2015, the number of asylum seekers entering Finland during 2015, this is 2015, we've had years since then of this, reached 27,000, which is, in relation to the country's size, the fourth largest in Europe. In late November, the number surpassed 30,000, nearly a tenfold increase compared to the previous year. So just all the way back, and this has been going on for years. 20,000, 30,000, surpassing 30,000 in 1 year. That was just in 2015. And now, all of a sudden, they're saying, well, 1,200 people come in here. Now, all of a sudden, it's a problem. Our greatest strength suddenly isn't. And people will fall for this. You will have people on the internet. And they'll sit there and say, see, this shows. See, Putin, Lukashenko, they're bad dudes. They're flooding Finland with immigrants because of 1,200 people. I don't know when I read that sort of thing from people. You know, you're left with two things. Either somebody's really stupid or they're a shill. I don't know. I don't know what to count, but how can you look at these numbers and you have tens of thousands, just Finland, not Europe, tens of thousands in Finland alone over the years. It's probably surpassed, you know, well over 100,000 of just in Finland. And then they turn around and they're going to kvetch about 1,200 people supposedly coming across from Russia. Suddenly it's a problem. I don't know how you process that. Russia has denied weaponizing migration. How can you weaponize it? It's our greatest strength. They're going to come pay the pensions in Finland. Foreign Secretary spokesman, Foreign Ministry spokesman Maria Zakharova accusing Helsinki of refusing cooperation between the country's border agents. The historically warm relations between the neighbors became severely strained after Finland, along with many Western states, imposed sanctions on Russia, began supplying Kiev with weapons. In a March interview with the Russian media, Putin blamed the West for the breakdown of the previously ideal relations between Moscow and Helsinki. Last year, Finland abandoned its long-standing policy of non-alignment in favor of joining the U.S.-led military bloc, whose expansion eastwards Russia sees as a threat to its national security. You know, it's just... thousands and thousands of these people. And then all of a sudden, these people stand up and say, oh, we suddenly realize there's a problem. Liars always lie. And it's not about hypocrisy. It's just that they lie. And so, of course, they run into contradictions. If you lie all the time, you're going to wind up contradicting yourself. You're going to wind up tripping up. And they just count on the fact that you're not going to remember what they said yesterday, much less 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. They're counting on the fact you're not going to remember any of that. Just look at what we're saying today. And there'll be people fall for it. They'll be saying, see, all of a sudden they see the light. They see the light on immigration. Once in a while, you'll have some politicians, they go through this whole charade, you know, that this voting thing makes some sort of damn difference. And obviously it doesn't. But they go through this charade. And you know, every so often you'll have here in the U.S., you'll have some politician come up and grandstand about immigration. We're going to build the wall. What are you going to do about the people already here? They never have an answer for that. I think one of the things that people ought to keep in mind, the next time some politician pops up, whether it's in the U.S. or Europe, Britain, next time some politician pops up and he's running for office and he's going to stand up there and blow smoke up your ass and tell you all about how he's very, boy, we're going to get this immigration thing under control. They tell you this all the time. Remember, the Tories had this grand plan. They're going to start mass deporting all these people to, what was it, Rwanda or whatever the hell. It ain't going to happen. It hadn't happened. It's increased. The Tories said, vote for us. If you vote for the Labour Party, they're going to flood your country with immigrants. The Tories get in and immigration goes up. And you still have people that act like the charade of voting is somehow going to change something. Now, the next time you have one of these lying sacks of garbage, these politicians, be it in the UK, Europe, the US, it doesn't matter. And they want to stand up. And the next time some Republican is standing up there and maybe you're at a town hall meeting, an opportunity for you. You got a town hall meeting. And one of these loathsome people are standing up there telling you, man, I'm gonna build Trump's wall. We're gonna stop the flow of immigration. We're gonna crack down on this immigration. And when it gets to the question and answer part, tell them something along the lines of, I'm glad to hear that if you were elected to office, you were gonna take this issue very seriously. What are your plans to investigate the NGOs that are bringing these people here? What are your plans to track down the funding and perhaps criminally prosecute these people who are exploiting these people? Because don't make no mistake, they always try to turn this into something personal, like, you know, oh, you just hate these people. You just hate him. Look, if you tell somebody, like if I'm somebody squatting in Somalia and I ain't got nothing, I'm living on dirt, and somebody shows up and says, hey, I will fly you to the Mexican border. All you got to do is walk across into the U.S. and they're going to give you $2,000 a month, free health care, a place to live. I mean, sign me up. I'm going. You can't blame the people. Of course they're going to come. They ain't got nothing. They pick these dirt-ass poor people that have no hope for anything, and they tell them, we'll fly you here. You see, the people, these poor people they're bringing in are being exploited. The problem is not these people. If somebody wasn't flying them in from, say, Somalia, as this example is, they would still be squatting in Somalia. It would be sad for them, you know. The problem isn't the Somalian walking across the Mexican border. He couldn't have swam there. Ask any politicians, what do you plan to do to address these NGOs? We have this massive, massive national security surveillance state. It can track everything you do, how much toilet paper you buy. Would it not be reasonable, Mr. Would-be Congressman, senator, whatever the hell, to use this massive national security apparatus to track down, arrest these NGOs? They're plotting against the U.S. What else could it be? They're bringing these people in. Unless the head of that NGO is named Putin or Lukashenko, there's no interest in that, is there? Watch them stand there and stammer and say, well, we have to, maybe these groups, you know, they mean well. They mean well. What kind of good intentions would somebody spend all of this money? Think of how expensive, you think you've got all these millions of people that have come to Europe, that have come into the U.S. from other parts of the world. How much did that cost? You think if it cost an average, and this is being really, really conservative, if it cost an average of, say, $500 a person to get one of these people, fly them in, have them walk across, give them their instructions, because you're going to have to feed them while you're flying them in, while you're shipping them around, while you put them on the bus. They've spent all this money. Why is that? They're not doing it because they think this is really going to help America. If they did, all they would have to do is go to the American public and make their case and say, no, look, here's how this is going to make everything better. They're going to pay the pensions. They saw how that worked in Europe. Everybody just kind of laughed at that, except, well, I say everybody. No, you had some morons that were like, yay, it's going to make our economy better and make us stronger. How's that worked out? We've got the results. Now, obviously, if they were doing this because they thought this was really going to make Finland better, this is going to make America better, this is going to make Germany better, France better, Britain better, it wouldn't have to be all this subterfuge about it. They just go to the people and say, man, we're going to do something good for you. We're importing Somalia. Let us tell you why that's going to be great. I mean, hell, they have this marketing apparatus. Market it to the people. Tell them how good it's going to be. Think of the foreign exotic foods you're going to be able to experience without leaving home. The kebab, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to blow your socks off. But they don't. They always keep it vague. But the fact of the matter is, they're not spending all of this money. You know, what is their goal? None of these politicians will tell you that. They stand up there and they say, oh, we got this immigration. We're going to crack down on the immigration. We're going to crack down on the immigration. Stop. We're going to shut the border. Shut the border. They won't address the root cause. These people would not be there. They're being exploited. These people would not be there except somebody brought them there and somebody spent a shit ton of money to bring them there. Why? What is their motivation? Why isn't anybody curious about this? Why are none of these would-be, I'm a conservative, I'm a Republican, and I'm hard on immigration? Then you got to get to the root problem. The problem isn't these people. If you tell somebody dirt-ass poor, hey, we'll fly you to America and you can live on welfare for free. They're going to give you free money. You ain't got nothing now. You're going to live, get free money. You're going to get the money, you're going to get the cars, you're going to get the hoes. Of course they're going to take them up on that. Who wouldn't? I would. If I was in their shoes, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I'd become walking in, welcoming my diversity. Welcoming my diversity. I'm marching into your country. Who the hell wouldn't? But they don't. They'll sit there and say, "Oh, I'm hardcore. I'm gonna crack down on this immigration. We're gonna crack down on the immigration. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that." But what about the NGO, sir? What about the addressing the root of the problem? These people aren't just showing up. What about the root of the problem? What about getting on to these things? You've got this massive national security state. You've got this massive apparatus. Why not crack down? Why not crack down on these NGOs? Start throwing people in prison, shutting them down. Why is it you're not doing that? And when they refuse to answer that question, that in and of itself will be their answer. Instead, you're going to get gibberish like this. It's Russia. Russia's suddenly weaponizing immigration because Finland, which has taken in tens of thousands and probably hundreds of thousands of immigrants over the past 5, 6, 7 years. Now all of a sudden, 1,200 people showing up and applying for asylum. This is now suddenly a problem. Suddenly, our greatest strength isn't. Wrap up on that note. I appreciate you joining me. I hope you get a chance to check out our great programming here on Radio Album. We got something new up Monday through Friday. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson's Orthodox Nationalist is on Wednesday. I know all of you look forward to that. Dr. Johnson will come back on Thursday for his geopolitical-centered Daily Nationalist, and I will be back. I plan to be back on Friday for our e-humors. We're bringing back Funny Fridays. I'll be back on Friday to wrap up your work week. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.